What a beautiful segue into the next part of our program. We're going to go into a special time of prayer led by Daniel Augsburger, the son of our beloved Professor Augsburger, who was a professor here in the seminary for many, many years. Daniel?
Thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you, Dr. Knight, for what you shared last evening. I really appreciate the information shared regarding the history and also about the personalities involved. And as was mentioned, I was particularly touched that at the end of his life, there in a hospital room, reconciliation of some form was achieved, because there is a desperate desire and a need for that. None of us feel quite right when those things haven't taken place. And I can't help but wonder, if he were here today, what would he say to all of us about what it means to be reconciled with this kind of situation? As was pointed out, we can only speculate as to what might have happened had he been involved in those conferences, what might have happened had the book been sent to him for him to review, what might have happened had, you know, the words been placed on paper in a slightly different way. Dr. Knight reminded us, though, that that was back then. You know, history doesn't deal with what might have been, it only deals with what was. But this is today, and we have the chance during this conference to begin a new history. And I wonder this morning, what are we going to do with this historic opportunity? When you consider some of the history, some of the people involved, their ages, their circumstances, I doubt we'll ever have this chance to get back together like this. This is a historic moment. I wonder what we will do. Someone that I have great respect for was a man by the name of Charles Finney, who also had his detractors. Later in life, he actually wrote a series of articles where he kind of shared what he had learned and took some more moderate positions from what he had shared in his lectures on revival. He was willing to own up to it. And I wonder, have we learned anything through all of these years? I wonder if it'll be evidenced in our discussions, or will we still hold so strongly to what we have perhaps believed, surmising we understand where everyone else stands. Listen to this quotation. It's not the opposition of the world that most endangers the Church of Christ. It's the evils cherished in the hearts of the believers that works their most grievous disaster and most surely retards the progress of God's cause. There is no surer way of weakening spirituality than by cherishing envy, suspicion, fault-finding, and evil surmising. On the other hand, the strongest witness that God has sent his Son into the world is the existence of harmony and union among men of varied dispositions. Now, what shall we do? I return to Charles Finney. I believe this statement from his lectures on revival speaks tellingly to our day. One design of assembling several persons together for united prayer is to promote union among Christians. Nothing tends more to cement the hearts of Christians than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts in prayer. Their spirituality begets a feeling of union and confidence highly important to the prosperity of the church. It is doubtful whether Christians can ever be otherwise than united if they are in the habit of really praying together. And where they have had hard feelings and differences among themselves, these are all done away with by uniting in prayer. The great object is gained if you can bring them really to unite in prayer. If this can be done, the difficulties will vanish. Seems to me if we can pray together, God can do a miracle in our day as well. Find someone else and spend some time talking about what you want God to do this weekend in your heart and in this body, the days that we spend together. Please.